Well, good evening to everyone. Welcome to our evening worship service. The announcements for this week. Today is the last day for the earthquake appeal, and there's a new issue of the Covenanter Witness magazine available from the vestibule table today. Monday evening at 7:30 in Clough Mills is the Northern Presbytery annual State of Religion meeting. And then in Clough Mills on Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday nights, there are guest services. The speaker, Dr. Stephen McCauley, and speaking on the topic of the world's broke. And there are little invitation cards on the table in the vestibule for those. We're not having a midweek meeting in Karatz this week, and so the opportunity is there to go. and you can go any evening. There was an invitation that came from the Clough Mills congregation, and the invitation is extended to anyone who's everyone is welcome to come along to any of those three meetings. Then on Friday night, it's the First Karatz PW table quiz at 7:00, and Saturday night is the Northern Presbytery CY quiz night, which is in Clough Mills, and that's at 7:30. And then next Lord's Day, God willing, our services, Sabbath school classes and prayer times are at the usual times. Those are the announcements. We join together now in the worship of God.
Thank you.
And we sing to his praise. Our opening psalm is 139. We sing the first five stanzas of the psalm, and we use the tune Pascal number 25. Psalm 139. Lord, you have searched me and me known. When I rise up, when I sit down, you understand too from afar the very thoughts that in me are. You mark my path and lying down. My ways to you are all well known, for on my tongue can be no word, but you completely know it, Lord. And this psalm reminds us of the nearness of God to his people. He is always a God who is near at hand, and there's nowhere we can go where he will be a faraway God. And that's a great cause for rejoicing for God's people. Psalm 139, we sing the first five stanzas, the tune Pascal number 25. We stand to sing and remain standing for prayer. Let us worship God.
Thank you.
We speak to God now in prayer. Lord, our God and Father, you are the one who searches us and the one who knows us. You know all that we are doing. You know our words and our thoughts, and you know where we are. And we rejoice, O Lord, that you're the God who is near at hand. We thank you that there is nowhere that we can flee from your Spirit. And we praise you, Lord, that even on the far side of the sea, there you will be just as near to us as you are here and now. And we give thanks, O Lord, for that right hand of yours that is upon your people. And we thank you for the comfort that you give us in the Scriptures, for the assurance that you're not a God who leaves us on our own. We pray now for your help, O Lord. We pray that you'll not leave us on our own here as we gather for worship this evening. But we pray that you'll be pleased to draw near to us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray that as your word is read and as we think of the things that we're taught in the Scriptures, as we sing your praises and as we look to you in our prayers, we pray, O Lord, that we would rejoice in our hearts in the great God that we have, in the great salvation that is ours. And Lord, we pray that we will not be envious of those who have much of the things of this world, but know nothing of you. And we pray, O God, that you will give us a contentment, and that knowing you will be enough for us, and that we will trust you to give us whatever else we need in life. Lord, forgive us our sins, forgive us for when we fail to bring you into our thinking and into our reckoning. And we pray that you will help us, Lord, more and more to avoid doing that, and that you would be our first thought and not our last thought. Hear our prayers now, O Lord, and we ask all in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Now we be reading from God's Word, and Harold will be reading the Scriptures tonight. And the two Scripture readings are first of all from Psalm 139, which we've just sung part, and then in the New Testament, James chapter 4.
Our first reading is from Psalm 139, verses 1 to 12, page 554 in the Church Bible. This is God's Word. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your Spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Our second reading is from James chapter 4, verses 1 to 10, page 1074 in the Church Bible. This is God's word. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war. Yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive, because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the Spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. May God bless the reading of his word.
For that scripture reading, we sing now to God's praise some stanzas in Psalm 34, and the stanzas we sing are 9 to 14. The tune is St. Ethelreda, number 142, Psalm 34. Stanza 9, it says, upon those who are right with him, the Lord has set his eye, his ears are open unto them, that he may hear their cry. Stanza 11, it says, the righteous people cry for help. The Lord their pleading hears, and he delivers them from all their troubles and their fears. Stanza 13, the righteous many trials has. The Lord from all sets free. In safety all his bones are kept. Not one can broken be. And we are taught in this portion of the psalm of how we are always seen by the Lord. The Lord always hears the cries of his people, and the Lord is the one who keeps his own. And so we rejoice in these great truths. Stanzas 9 to 14, the tune 142, we stand now to sing God's praise.
Yes.
I want to speak this evening on the subject of awareness of God. I was a little bit shocked recently to realize that it's now over 40 years since I left home and headed off to university. And that happened back in October of 1982. And I well remember that day. It was a big day in my own life. And I boarded the Larne Stranraer ferry. There is no such thing today, but there was 40 years ago. And I had my big green rucksack packed full of stuff. And I had a really old and a bit tatty looking big brown suitcase. And that was all my stuff for the next 11 weeks or so. We're in those two containers. I was going to Edinburgh. I'd never been to Edinburgh in my life. And that's the way things were in those days. These days, there's open days at universities, and people go maybe a couple of times to see a place they're interested in going to. I'd never been to Edinburgh, never seen Edinburgh University. I had no idea of the layout of the streets of Edinburgh. It was all new territory to me. And I remember finding a seat in the boat and sitting down. And I remember how it struck me forcefully that now I was on my own, that this was me setting out, and I would have the responsibility of making my own decisions. I would have to do things for myself. And I closed my eyes, and I prayed, and I asked that God would be with me, that God would help me to be wise, to make good choices, and to be strong in my faith. And before I had finished my prayer, I was conscious that someone had sat down opposite me. And I opened my eyes, and there was someone I'd never seen in my life before. He was tall with slightly curly hair, and he wore glasses, and he was a few years older than me. And within a short time, I discovered that he, too, was a student at Edinburgh University. His name was Jimmy Johnson, and he was also a Christian. And he told me a little bit about the Christian Union in Edinburgh University and the things that would be on over the next few days and beyond. And then after a few minutes, he got up and he went away to speak to someone else that he knew. And I was filled with a sense and an awareness that God was with me, that he had begun to answer my prayer before I'd even got my prayer properly finished. And it was a great encouragement, and I had a tremendous sense of the fact that God was traveling with me on that new experience of life. I wonder, when did you last have that sense that God really is with me in this, that he hasn't left me on my own? And I'm glad to say that 40 years ago wasn't the last time that I had that sense or experience. But I want to speak this evening about awareness of God. It's a good thing if we are aware of the reality and presence of God in our lives. And as we grow in the Christian faith, that should be something where there is an increasing awareness of God's presence. And those times when we sense and recognize that God is with me, those should be more frequent. I want to speak, first of all, about the dangers of lack of awareness. There are many negative consequences of not being aware of the presence of God. First of all, I would say that if we're not aware, if we're not sensing God's presence, well, then we become less aware that his eye is upon us. Proverbs 15, verse 3, it says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." And we sang from Psalm 34 about the Lord's eye being upon his own people. And in these days, we live in times where increasingly we are under surveillance. And in the time when we as a family visited China, that was something that we were very aware of. There were just cameras everywhere, and you knew you were always being watched. And when you know that you're being watched, it affects your behavior. When you see that there really is a speed camera, that's a different thing from seeing a sign that says speed cameras. In the latter years of my time as minister in Wishaw RP Church, there was a CCTV system in the town centre in Wishaw, and there was a camera that sometimes pointed directly at the front door of our church, and you would never have known if you were coming to church whether you'd be caught on camera or not, and whether somebody in the police station would be having a look to see who's going along to the RP Church today. When you're being watched, it has an effect on your behavior. And if we're not thinking about God, and if we're not aware of the presence of God, then we're less likely to restrain sin in our lives. And we're less likely to strive to do well. If we think our Father in heaven is watching us, it should affect the way we live. And so if we're not thinking about him, if we're not aware of him, then that will have a negative effect. If we're not conscious of God's presence, well, that means that we think less often of God. And if we think less often of what God says to us in his word, we will think less often of what the will of God is for us in our lives. And when you progress along that route, you become more and more like an unbeliever in your thinking. And you don't think about God at all. You just think your own thoughts, and God isn't in those thoughts. It's also the case that if we're not aware of God's presence, the tendency is that we become religious people rather than children of God. If we're not aware of God's presence, we may do the right things, but we'll do those things out of a sense of religious duty rather than out of love for our Father in heaven whose eye is upon us. Worship becomes an obligation rather than a desire of our heart. Prayer becomes a duty rather than something in which we delight in communicating with our God. And there's no sense of the joy of following Jesus Christ. It's a burdensome thing to serve him. And we think of how hard it is to be a Christian, and can be almost resentful that we have to do these things when other people don't have to do these things. So there are many bad things that arise in our thinking and in our living if we're not aware of the presence of God in our lives. In the second place, I want to speak about discerning God's presence. How can we know the presence of God? Well, there is a sense in which everyone is aware of the presence of God, because as we sang in Psalm 139, God is present everywhere. We never find a place on this earth where God is not present. But although God is present everywhere, I suppose you could say that he often goes undetected. One of the great men of God in the early centuries of the Christian church was Augustine. And it's said that he was one day confronted by a man who was brandishing his idol, and he had his idol in his hand. And this man issued the challenge to Augustine, and he said, "Here is my God, where's yours?" And Augustine looked the man in the eye and said, "I can't show you my God. Not because there is no God to show, but because you have no eyes to see him." And that's the reality. False religion loves to have its visible idols and its representations of God. But the true God is spirit, and we cannot represent him. And he is real. The false gods aren't real. The true God is real. And people have no eyes to see the living and true God. But Christians are able to know the presence of the invisible God. As Christians, we can know not just that God exists, and not just that God is present everywhere, but we can know that he is present with us. And how can we know that? Well, we can only know it through the mediating work of the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can know that God is with you is through Emmanuel, God with us. There is no other way. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that we can know the presence and experience the reality of God with us. Now, that goes against much of the thinking of modern day spirituality. Within those who would describe themselves as religious, and in some cases would describe themselves as Christians, people have increasingly been seeking to incorporate into their lives things that really are rooted in false religion rather than rooted in the clear instructions of God in the scriptures. And there are various forms of what would be labeled mysticism, whereby people seek to become conscious of the reality and presence of God. And it may be through the use of candles, it may be through the use of crystals, it may be through the use of certain types of music, it may be through sacred smells, or it may be through people trying to empty their minds of their own thoughts in order to experience thoughts of God. Those are the kind of things people try to pursue in order to gain for themselves an awareness of the presence of God. And that is not the Christian way. That is not what we're taught in the scriptures. Our way to experience God's presence is through our only mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is and always will be both God and man. And we are to always look unto Jesus. We are to consider him. And when we do that with the eye of faith, we will see God, and we will encounter the living and true God. All other ways that claim to lead us to a genuine experience of God are false. They either lead us to believe what we always wanted to believe, or they open us up to being deceived about God by lying spirits, evil spirits who want to keep people in the dark about God, and rather than knowing what God is really like, which we are taught in the scriptures. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ and through his sovereign Holy Spirit that we can experience the closeness of God. And it is through the scriptures that we are taught about the God who is real, as opposed to the God who is merely the product of men's imagination. Now, it is not the case for any growing Christian that our awareness of God's presence with us is something that just steadily increases day after day after day, that we just become more and more and more aware of the presence of God. That's just not the normal experience of Christian people. And there are times in the lives of God's people, and it's reflected throughout the scriptures, when there is a sense that God is far off, that he isn't near. And in the Psalms, there are many times when the psalmist is calling upon God to come close, and where are you, God? There's a lack of awareness of God's closeness, God's presence. And God sends those times into our lives for our good. He doesn't want us to take him for granted, to just assume that everything will go smoothly for us and God will always be there when we need him. God doesn't want us to think in that kind of way, that there's only certain times when we need him. God would rather that we would be conscious that we always need him. And sometimes we may even feel as if God is working against us. And we find that in the scriptures, where that's how it feels to God's servant, as if he is blessing the godless and he has a curse upon those who are striving to serve him. Those times come, but generally speaking, the trend in the life of a growing Christian is of an increasing rather than a decreasing awareness of God's reality and God's presence. God should be more real to us now than when we first began to trust in him. And this is something that should be important to us. It's honoring to God that we should want to know that he is with us. Parents will know that there may be times in the lives of our children where they are embarrassed by our presence. And God, our Father in heaven, does not want his adopted children to be embarrassed by our Father in heaven. He wants us to want him to be with us. And so we are encouraged in the scriptures to discern the presence of God. So in the third place, I want to speak about progressing in our awareness of God. Is there anything that we can do to help us become more aware of God's presence? Well, yes, there is, but it's not necessarily anything fancy or new. But a few things I will say, and I will begin with God's word. We make progress in our awareness of God by means of our intake of God's word. And we need to read the word of God because it is the word of God. Maybe you have somewhere in your stuff something that is written by someone who is special to you, or someone who was special to you and is no longer here in life. I was at Professor Donnelly's funeral last week, And one of the comments that Mark Lockridge was making to Professor Donnelly's seven grandchildren was that they had an opportunity that not everyone has who loses a grandfather, in that they can hear his voice. And the many recorded sermons of his that are available for them to access, it's easy for them to hear his voice. And God wants us to be those who want to hear his voice. And if you have something that is a note to you from someone who was special unto you, well, then you just have to read those words, or even just to see the handwriting, and it fills you with memories of what that person was like. And the Bible is God's writing. The Bible is God's note to us. And as we read the scriptures and as we meditate upon the scriptures, well, we're reminded of him. We're reminded of our Father in heaven. And we're enabled to sense that he hasn't died and gone away, but that this is how he is, and he's real, and he is with his people. Now, a quick reading of the scriptures to be able to tick it off and say, I've read my Bible today, that won't give you an awareness of the presence of God. It may remind you that God exists, but it won't convince you that God is near to you. A quick reading of God's word is like a little shower that wets the surface of the ground, but that's about all it does. It'll soon be dried up by the sun or dried up by the wind. It won't really do any good. What's needed is for the rain to percolate down into the soil. The rain needs to get down to the roots. And so it is with our souls. The word of God has to sink deep within us if it's really to do us any good. Psalm 16, verse 8, it says, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be shaken. And we just need to take time over God's word and think of the God who is behind this word, and to treasure the word of God. And the more we do that, the more we are aware of his reality and his presence, and the more to us he is God with us. So we need to take time over God's word. And just the taking time can make a real difference. Taking in the word of God is not something that can be rushed. Second thing I've mentioned is to talk to him. By faith, we believe that the Lord is with us. We don't see him, but he has promised that he will be with us, that he will never leave us, never forsake us. And so we believe that he is near. And believing that someone is near is important. If someone was out in the car park at present, sitting in their car, I wouldn't try to talk to them, because I know they wouldn't hear me. But if they're sitting in the seat behind me here in the pulpit, I would be able to talk with them. And I could speak with the confidence that they would hear. And so it needs to be with God. We need to have the confidence that God is near in order for us to meaningfully talk with him. And God reminds us in his word that he is near to his people. Deuteronomy 4, verse 7. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? Moses reminds the people of God, you are the most blessed people on earth because your God is near to you. And whenever you pray to him, he is near. Do we want to know the nearness of God? Well, Moses says he is near us whenever we pray to him. Isaiah 55, verse 6, we're told, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. God is near to his people, and we're encouraged to seek him and to call upon him while he is near. Acts 17, verse 27, Paul says that God is not far from each one of us. God is near. He's not afar off. He's not a distant God. And since he is near, we should talk to him. If we don't do that, we are ignoring him. And he will seem distant to us if we don't talk to him. When we talk to God, we're more likely to sense his nearness. Harold read from James 4, verse 8, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. There's a great promise of God. You want to know his nearness? Well, God says, you draw near to me, and I'll draw near to you. And so that's what we need to do. We need to take time to take God's word on board. See it as this is our Father in heaven speaking to us. We need to take time to talk to him. And as I was saying a few weeks ago, there are occasions in daily life when we have the opportunity to draw near to God in prayer. And you can pray when you're doing other things, things that don't require a huge amount of concentration. You can be praying out loud or you can be praying quietly. And in my own experience, in my own life and the things that I've done at times, some of the times when I've been most aware of the presence of God and of being able to just communicate with God and conscious that this isn't me talking to myself. When I was at university in Edinburgh, I had about a mile and a quarter walk from one part of the university to the other. And that walk from one place to another was often a time when I was aware of the presence of God. In my years in my early 20s, times in the early autumn when I was gathering potatoes, that was a long, tedious experience. But sometimes I was particularly aware of God's presence in the quietness of a potato field with just my father and myself, nobody else in sight, nobody else around. Everything was quiet. We were just gathering potatoes and putting them in a bucket and putting them in a bag. And those ordinary life experiences, there was the opportunity to be thinking about the things of God and speaking to him. Another time I think of is the large grassy area that we had at Wishaw Manse. I would never have called it a lawn. It was just a grassy area. It was never lawn quality. But it took about 4 hours to cut that grass, and it was about 50 meters long, up and down and up and down the main part of it. And there was much opportunity to think and to pray and to sense the reality of God being present. And so in talking to God, God draws near to us. And he assures us that he is real, and that our faith is not just a wishful kind of thing where we say our prayers and we hope that that will make some difference. But it is actual communication with God himself. Another very simple thing I mention is to remember Him. We can experience God's reality by remembering His role in the world. Spurgeon puts it very well. He comments on how we need to think in the way that Jesus thought. We're to follow the Lord Jesus. He is our example. And this is what Spurgeon says. He fed the multitude, but it was with His Father's bread. And He healed the sick, but the Father did the works. Other men remarked that the ravens were fed, but He said, "Your heavenly Father feeds them." Other men noticed the lilies were fair to look upon, but He discerned that God so clothes the grass of the field. The heavenly Father was in every place and in everything to Jesus. And so Spurgeon gives the advice, refuse to see anything without seeing God in it. So just seeing God in the ordinary things of life and remembering that God made this, remembering that God has put this in place in life. To remember Him is a help to being aware of His presence. God is not just the creator of this world, but He is the sustainer, and His hand is in everything. And we're to think as the Lord thought, and we're to see the Father's hand in all things. We're to remember Him. And then the very last thing I'll say is that we can grow in awareness of the presence of God by worshiping Him with His people. There are some occasions when God will draw near to you when you're on your own, and we thank God for those times. But there are experiences of God's nearness that can only be had when you're among the worshiping people of God. And God chooses to work mightily among His gathered people. There may be many ordinary times when we meet together for the worship of God, but God also sends some special times. Sometimes His Spirit works in mighty ways when the people of God are gathered to bring Him our worship. And one day you may have a mighty experience of the drawing near of God as you sit among the worshiping people of God. And so if you want to grow in your experience, in your awareness of God's presence, well then you need to keep on being among the people of God that are gathered for worship. Hebrews 10, verse 22, it says, Let us draw near to God. Let us together draw near to God. And verse 25, it says, Let us not give up meeting together. When God's people meet together, God is pleased to come among those gathered people. And that's a way in which we become more aware of His presence. It is a good thing to be aware of the presence of God. It's a good thing to grow and to seek to grow in our awareness of the presence of God. And let us pray for this, which will be for God's glory and for the good of His cause among His people. Amen. Well, we come now to God in prayer, and if you're able, please stand as we pray. Our Father in heaven, we look to You and we give thanks that You are the one who is the hearer of prayer. And You've told us, O Lord, that we are to draw near to You and You will draw near to us. And so, God, we pray for that. We pray that You will help us to give ourselves to listening to what You say to us in Your word. And we pray that You help us to turn to You in our prayers, to turn to you in our thoughts, to turn to you in our corporate worship. And we ask, O God, that you will cause us to grow in our awareness of you. May we know that you are the one who is near at hand. And so, Lord, we look to you in these things. We thank you for our mediator, for the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is God with us. And we thank you that he is with us. And, Lord, we pray that we will believe that we will know it and experience it. We pray, Lord, for your comfort and your help for those who have lost loved ones in recent times. We pray that you will help them, O Lord, to take heart and to be able to think of the blessing that has come upon those who have been taken from this life and taken into the next. And we thank you, Lord, for when there is the death of a believer, that we do not mourn as those who have no hope, but we thank you, Lord, for that great hope that is there in your word. We pray, O Lord, for the training of men for Christian ministry. We pray for the work of our theological college. We pray in particular for Warren Peel in these days. We pray for him in all the responsibilities he has in ministering in the Trinity congregation. We pray for him in his work as interim moderator in Carrickfergus and in teaching New Testament language and literature at the theological college. We pray for him doing these things in the midst of the loss of his father-in-law, and how in recent weeks the Donnelly family have been looking after him and being there with him. And just pray, O Lord, for Warren, that you will give him your strength and help him to be able to concentrate and able to have a clear mind in the public duties that he has. And we pray for that family circle, that you will help them in their sense of loss. Lord, we pray for our presbytery meeting, the Northern Presbytery meeting tomorrow night, and pray for that, for your blessing upon that. We thank you, Lord, for how in various congregations within our presbytery there have been encouraging things happening. And Lord, we pray that will spread throughout all the congregations. We remember the vacancy in Ballylagan. We thank you for today as the communion services. We pray for the preaching of Tim Donaghy. And we pray, O Lord, for a congregational meeting in 2 weeks' time. We pray for a oneness of mind there among the members as they discuss the possibility of issuing another call or the possibility of holding off on that. And Lord, we pray that you will remember your people there. We ask for the weekend conference coming up in a few days' time. Pray for Reverend Gareth Burke as he speaks at that, and those from various congregations who will gather in Armagh. And we pray that there will be a rich blessing there, that your word will come across clearly, and that people will be able to rejoice in the great words of the Bible that you give to us, speaking of the great things that you do, speaking of our great salvation and our great Saviour. And Lord, we pray that everyone who's able to be there will be really strengthened in their faith and all the more convinced of the truth of your word. We pray that you'll be calling other men to train for gospel ministry, that you'll lay that concern and that call upon men's hearts. And we pray that you will so convince men that they'll know that they can do nothing other than that. We ask, Lord, for the relief funds appeal for help in the relief effort in Turkey and in Syria. We pray for the money that will be sent on to help in the many needs that are there. And Lord, we pray that all of it will be used well. And we pray, O God, that you'll be doing your saving work, that there will be opportunities for Christian witness in the midst of the humanitarian help that is given. And Lord, we pray that you will be doing good things in those lands, and that there will be better times for the people there, and that the cause of the gospel will be strengthened rather than weakened by the loss of so many lives. Lord, we pray for your working throughout the nations of the earth, and we ask, O Lord, that you would that you would have your eye upon what is taking place. And we pray, Lord, that you would honor those who are honoring you, and we pray that you will deal in your way with those who want to go against your commandments and your ways. We look to you, Lord. We pray for our own land, for our parliament at Westminster, and for the political arrangements in Northern Ireland. And we pray, Lord, for the time of uncertainty in Scotland at present, and we pray that you'll be at work in all of this. We pray that it will all serve to decrease any measure of trust in man and heighten an awareness of our need for the supplies of God. Lord, we pray that you will be working in hearts at this time, and that you would open up a willingness upon and people's part to consider the gospel and to consider the good news that you proclaim in your word. Lord, bless the witness of your people. Help us, O God, where the opportunities exist, that you would enable us, O Lord, not to be ashamed of you, but to see that you're the one who can help where there is no other help that will be found. Lord, we pray that you'll hear now our prayers, and we ask for your ongoing blessing upon your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We sing to God's praise from Psalm 145, singing the B version, stanzas 3 to 5, and the tune is number 289, which is the tune for the hymn "How Great Thou Art." So you'll know the tune. The Lord is good to all of his creation. Compassion has on all that he has made. All you have made, O Lord, with thanks will praise you. Your chosen holy ones will you extol. The glory of your kingdom they will tell. The greatness of your power proclaim. That sons of men may know your mighty acts. Your kingdom's splendor glorious. And it is God who is praised. It is God who does the great things. And the last stanza, it says, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all those who in truth call on his name. The Lord is near. And that's a message that God gives us again and again in the scriptures. 145b, we sing stanzas 3 to 5. Tune is 289. We stand to sing God's praise and remain standing then for the benediction. Thanks to praise you, your Now receive God's blessing. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.